I'm Marianne Kolbasek-McGee, Executive Editor at Information Security Media Group. Today I'm speaking with Nicholas Morris, a practice manager at security firm Optiv. We're going to be discussing security and privacy risks and threats involving some of the most sensitive type of patient data, genetic data. So, Nicholas, what makes genetic information an attractive potential target for cyber criminals and why?
Well, a lot of this conversation has really been sparked by the recent bankruptcy announcement of 23andMe, and of course, more recently, the announcement of their purchase by Regeneron. But if we look at what companies like 23andMe, what they're able to do with genetic data, there's of course several different categories of things they're able to do with that data. They're able to identify genetic predisposition or risks towards certain diseases. Of course, their primary driver for business with consumers is the ability to identify ancestry and then also familial connections. So if we imagine a worst case scenario where a threat actor is able to obtain their entire database of genetic information and their analysis, or let's say they're just able to replicate their analysis, what are some of the things that they could do with that information? They could use knowledge of possible health risks to inform highly targeted phishing campaigns. They could use knowledge of health risks even just to select their targets. Let's say if they're able to identify a large number of folks over 60 with a genetic predisposition towards, say, Alzheimer's. Of course, that's something you really don't want a threat actor to be able to get their hands on. And then, of course, from the familial connection side, they're also perhaps able to use that to target or tailor phishing campaigns. So I think there's a lot of different avenues that a threat actor with that level of sophistication or access could go down in terms of leveraging that data.
You mentioned 23andMe, and we did see a incident a couple of years ago at the company involving a credential stuffing hacking incident that compromised some of their consumers' genetic ancestry information. And as you mentioned, now that 23andMe is seeking bankruptcy protection, it's slated to be acquired by a biotech firm, Regeneron. And that company also uses patient DNA data in its development of medical treatments. With all of that said, what are some of the potential privacy and security issues that you see emerging from this 23andMe Regeneron situation when it comes to genetic data of these companies moving forward? Any potential privacy security red flags that you see or things that, people should be considering right now?
Certainly. I think in the short term, expecting threat actors to use this data, I think that's a level of sophistication that's not likely to arise from a cyber criminal in the short term. But something that's been discussed for a number of years from a larger privacy context is the risk of this data eventually finding its way into the hands of, say, an insurance company, and that insurance company using that data to perhaps adjust their premiums if you have certain risks towards certain diseases. So that's of course a privacy risk, not in the realm of criminality, although I think there actually has been legislation in certain areas to restrict that sort of usage of genetic data. But even just within the normal confines of day-to-day business, there's a privacy risk there. So especially as companies like 23andMe enter bankruptcy, this data changes hands. I think as a consumer, you want to be very intentional and discerning about who you share that data with and think carefully before sharing that genetic data with a particular company. And especially in this case, consider whether you want your data to be included in this potential upcoming sale. And if not, make sure that you make use of any data deletion requests and data access requests while you have that opportunity.
Nicholas said, as I mentioned, the incident at 23andMe a few years ago involved a credential compromise, credential stuffing. Any other sorts of incidents that we've seen involving genetic data, whether or not, the genetic data was a target or, the use of the genetic data or, or maybe even phony genetic data was used to try to commit a scam. What have we been seeing in terms of these kinds of attacks, if any, at this point?
I think most of these are still out of the reach of your average threat actor. So I don't think we're seeing threat actors using genetic data yet. But what we see with these technologies, I mean, we look back 2 decades ago. It was very recently that the Human Genome Project, completed just the very first sequencing, and now we have commoditized the sequencing of DNA. So these tools, this technology and the software that's required for it is, on a kind of exponential growth. So what we see, 2 years being out of the reach of the most advanced facilities and companies that is now commoditized. It's only a matter of time before those analysis tools are perhaps even open sourced or at least available to those cyber criminals. So I think right now we haven't seen many attacks leveraging that genetic data, if any, but I think it's only a matter of time before that occurs.
Is there a risk of data integrity sorts of attacks where, hackers potentially manipulate the information for whatever reason? Is that a concern at this point, or is that something that's unlikely to happen because of, protections that are generally in place, or is that a possibility?
I think it's always a possibility. What we'll see is over time how that data is used by even legitimate businesses. So over time, if that and I think we can assume safely that genetic data will be used in more and more use cases. If that is starting, if there are scenarios where it's used for authentication, biometric authentication, or scenarios where going back to the insurance scenario, if that's used to determine premiums, where genetic data in the future may be used to make decisions, whether by companies or governments, then of course there's going to be an integrity concern. And whether it's genetic data or really any kind of data, I don't think we can ever put any specific category of data beyond the reach of risk or integrity attacks. Despite the data type differences, in most cases they are stored and accessed and manipulated and analyzed in very similar ways, with very similar technologies and databases, and analysis tools. So I absolutely think there's a risk.
Nicholas, how about threat actors leveraging artificial intelligence in attacks or compromises or scams involving genetic data? What do you see as a possibility there?
Yeah, absolutely. Artificial intelligence, as we've seen, has been very useful to not just threat actors, but even just your average software developer in developing tools to perhaps analyze and make use of genetic data. We've also seen it used by threat actors to accelerate or automate things like phishing campaigns. So if you take it from both sides, I think it's just going to accelerate the ability or the speed with which a threat actor can start to make use of this data in a dangerous way.
So, Nicholas, how can healthcare companies and their patients protect themselves from these emerging cyber threats and related risks involving their genetic data?
From a consumer perspective, I think the first thing when it comes specifically to genetic data is just be very careful and consider the risks and benefits of sharing that genetic data with different entities or companies, and make sure that that is something that you do want to share before you take that plunge. Also, especially with the context of 23andMe, if that's a company that you've used in the past, consider requesting a data download and data deletion. At least consider whether that is something that you want to pursue. But also follow general best practices. So be always wary and on the lookout for potential phishing and social engineering attacks. Limit data sharing in general. Request data deletion anytime an account or a vendor is no longer needed or present in your life. And consider, perhaps, depending on the level of effort you're willing to invest, a data deletion vendor that will go around to the data access brokers and request deletion of personal data as it's accumulated. On the business side, in terms of safeguarding that information, a lot of the usual controls apply. So, of course, your usual identity and access management, your usual data access governance, especially data retention and minimization. And data loss prevention. Of course, these are all technologies designed to mitigate the risk of data extraction or data exfiltration in general. And so, of course, they're going to apply for genetic data as well. I would also recommend that any vendor storing this sort of health information and genetic information should fully separate the genetic data from any identifying information. So, use tokenization to make sure that no single database will contain both that highly sensitive genetic or health information and the details necessary to associate it with a specific person. Mitigate the risk of all that being stolen in a single event and separate those two things into two different places. And I would also recommend that all businesses storing health and genetic information offer the rights of data access and data deletion to consumers, regardless of legal obligation. Many consumers today in the EU or certain states and certain countries around the world are entitled to those protections. But as an ethical matter, I would recommend that companies offer those protections and those rights to all consumers regardless.
And finally, Nicholas, when it comes to the companies that, collect this data, that store this data, any potential there for AI in helping to secure that data? And if so, how?
I think the same way that AI has helped threat actors to accelerate their efforts, I think we see the same thing on the triage side. So we have seen AI tools successfully integrated into security operation centers, monitoring for signs of intrusion. We have seen AIs being applied to control assessments to identify opportunities to improve data security and data governance efforts. So I don't know that there are specific tie-ins to the genetic data, but certainly from just a general security perspective, we see AI being used by both blue teams and red teams. And I would recommend that blue teams not get left behind by the red teams who are certainly already making use of the technology.
Well, thank you so much, Nicholas. I've been speaking to Nicholas Morris. I'm Marianne Kobasak-McGee of Information Security Media Group. Thanks for joining us.